Turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark, the 8th chapter, and I shall begin reading with verse 34 and read through verse 38. Now, before reading the scripture, I wonder if any of you has ever purposed in your heart to go somewhere and you did not reach your destination? Or has there ever been a time when you started out someplace and got into a strange town and thought you were on the right road and made the wrong turn, and about 30 miles later discovered that you had been going back in the same direction that you've come? How many of you have ever had that experience? Let's see your hand. Well, many in this church building. June 16, 1960, when I had a total of 12 hours as a beginning pilot, I was to make a solo cross-country to Laurel, Mississippi, approximately 500 miles. Now, with 12 hours, Brother Buell, I knew all there was to know about flying. You couldn't tell me anything I knew at all. And I took off from Tyler, Texas, early in the morning, going to Laurel, Mississippi. And after 4 hours of flying, I wound up in a soybean field in Tiller, Arkansas. I don't mean a soybean field that had been scraped down, but one that had been freshly plowed. And I landed in freshly plowed ground. And if the Lord had not put 50 angels on the tail of that airplane, I'm sure that I would have gone over in the glory. My point is, I didn't get where I had started. And that night I sat down and wrote a poem, and I've never quoted it before publicly, but I'm going to quote it now. Remember, I was going from Tyler to Laurel, Mississippi, and I wound up where? Tiller, Arkansas. But anyway, that night I sat down and wrote from Tyler to Tiller. This story begins. Sounds good at the start, but wait till it ends. I was on my solo cross country way up high, little realizing that after a while I'd be lost in the sky. I flew over Shreveport Omni right on the beam and thought to myself, radio navigation is certainly a dream. I missed Monroe on this first experience in aviation, and when I saw the mighty Mississippi, I knew I had flubbed my navigation. I flew down over each and every little town. I wanted to read a water tower and then set her down. When the gas indicators were deep in the red, I knew it was Mayday, but kept flying ahead. Pine Bluff Radio gave me a shot in the arm, and on the way to Pine Bluff, Echo Cough ran out of gas. So I picked out a farm. I esked her down, knowing that I was certainly not a wheel, and the Lord let me out without a scratch when Echo landed safely in that soybean field. Now, that was one of my most embarrassing moments because I didn't get where I was going, and I made every newspaper in the Southwest, and that added to my embarrassment. And later learned, since I've told this much, that my instructor was a crook and had insured me for $100,000, expecting me to get killed that day. Now, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. My subject, how can one be sure of arriving in heaven? And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own what? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. You may be seated. How one may be assured of getting to heaven. There are four things that I want to point out in all simplicity. And yet, when we weigh these four things, they are actually deep rather than simple. Because the most important possession that you have tonight is your eternal soul. And one of the most important facts in the Word of God is that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And every soul that leaves this world unprepared to meet God is going to hell, not because I said so, but because it's recorded in God's Word. And if I were to ask every one of you tonight, how many of you want to go to heaven? I do not believe that there is one person from the back of this building to the front of this building who would deny the fact that you want to go to heaven, and not one would say, I desire to go to hell. And yet you're going to one of two places. How can one be assured of arriving in heaven? Number one, I believe a person must acknowledge that he is a sinner in the eyes of the living God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Proverbs 20, verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin. Job 14, verse 1, man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Still speaking of a natural man, in verse 4 he raises and answers an important question. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And answers it by saying, not one. David said in Psalm 51, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in what? Somebody tell me. And in sin did my mother conceive me. There never has been a person who has been saved by the grace of God or who got to heaven that did not first recognize that he was a sinner in need of the mercy of God. You're with me to ancient Jerusalem. Go to me to the ancient temple there. And read with me from the 18th chapter of Luke, verses 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And anybody who despises others and trusts in himself and thinks that by nature he's righteous needs the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or adulterers. And he looked out of the corner of his eye and saw the other man, the publican, and said, and even as this publican. And then he said, I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a what? Jesus said in verse 14, I tell you, this man, the man who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, went down to his house justified rather than the other, for For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And I can tell you by the authority of God's word, if you ever arrive in heaven, you'll first have to arrive at the point that you are a sinner in need of a saving grace of God. In Psalm 38, verse 18, David said, "For I will declare my iniquity, and I will be sorry for my sin." The second thing I want to point out is, not only must you acknowledge that you are a sinner, but you must recognize the danger that you're in. Some time back, I was squirrel hunting down in the Carey Lake area. And as I passed by a large pine tree, I saw something that looked rather peculiar to me, like a snake. So I looked closer. And there, right in my pathway, was the largest copperhead that I've ever seen. And I jumped about that high, and just instantaneously shot that copperhead right in two, and turned around and looked and saw another one that I had stepped over before I got to him. And I had stepped over one copperhead and almost stepped on another one and didn't see the first one. And just thank God that I saw the second one. Now, I did not realize the danger that I was in. And that ended my squirrel hunt. Because I'm afraid of a snake. One time I was fishing over near Beckville, Texas, and as I was walking along the path of the little branch with my rod and reel, I saw in front of me caught a rattlesnake. And I called God to witness. I wasn't as far from the road where my car was parked as it is down here to the curb. And when I saw that rattlesnake, I got frightened and I got lost, and it took me 45 minutes to get to my car. And every time a brush would touch my leg, I'd jump sky high. I didn't realize the danger I was in. And I wish there was some way tonight that God would not just grant to me, but grant to all His creatures the power to warn sinners, not only of the fact that they're sinners, but they're standing in danger of eternal condemnation. James 1:15, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth what? Romans 6:23, death. That's correct. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Matthew 25:46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And son or friend, you have never recognized the danger that you're in until, first of all, that you recognize you are a sinner. And then when you recognize that you are a sinner, then it'll be easy for you to recognize that you're in danger of eternal condemnation. To be sure that you arrive at heaven, you must see the danger of hell. Number three, to be sure that you arrive in heaven, you must realize your deliverance. You hear me tonight, and you hear me ask for eternity. Your deliverance does not come through the baptistry, amen. It does not come through the Lord's Supper table. Your deliverance does not come through church membership. Your deliverance does not come through your own power. Your deliverance has been provided for in a person known as the Eternal Son of God. In fact, if you try to accomplish your deliverance, you'll just complicate it. Because salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2:9, it is not of the power of man, it is of the sovereign grace of God. What did Paul say to the Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 1:10, who delivered us, Christ did, from so great a death and doth deliver. And we trust in the future shall yet deliver us. I'm glad that He delivered us from our condemnation and from our sin. The day we were saved by the grace of God, He is continuously delivering our life. And the morning of the first resurrection, He'll deliver this body of death, and we'll stand glorified in the presence of Jesus Christ. John 1:13, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And my beloved, our deliverance does not come in rituals or forms or in the memorization of catechisms or in confirmations. Our deliverance comes through the power of the Mighty One, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me take you back to the temple again and show to you an old man by the name of Simeon who had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. And in the 2nd chapter of Luke, God had promised this old man that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ or until he had seen the Lord's salvation. And when it came for Mary and Joseph to do after the custom or the manner of the Jews was, or that is to have a child circumcised, on the 8th day they brought baby Jesus to the temple. And old Samuel looked at him, and my Bible says that he picked him up in his arms. And then that old man, Brother C.L., began to pray. He said, "Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And when Simeon looked at baby Jesus, and God revealed to him that he was his Messiah, he knew not only the consolation of Israel, but the deliverance of his soul had been accomplished in what this child was to do that had been planned from the foundation of the world. If you ever get to heaven, you'll see your deliverance is in the Lord Jesus. Then, seeing you are a sinner and the danger you're in and where your deliverance lies, you will receive Him as your Savior. In John 1:12, the Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." And in Matthew 10:33, Jesus said, "For whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever shall confess me before men, him also will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." Let me illustrate, if you can. Perchance tonight,
There is one in this audience who would just openly confess that Jesus is his or her Savior. The instantaneous second that person confesses Jesus before men, the Bible says that Christ confesses that person before the Father in heaven, and I'd rather have Jesus calling my name to the Father than anybody else in this world. Amen. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's just that simple. You just receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate. On that cruel cross where Jesus hung suspended between heaven and earth, known as the place of the skull or Golgotha, there were two other crosses. And on these two crosses, Jesus and the center cross, there were two malefactors, thieves and robbers that were indeed vowed justly for the crimes that they had committed against society. And one of these flagrant thieves, in his agnosticism and in his cynicism, looked at Jesus and said, "If you be the Son of God, save yourself and us." If you be the Son of God, save yourself and then save me. And the other one looked at him and rebuked him for what he'd said and said, "We are indeed here justly, but this man, as he turned his eyes toward Jesus, hath done nothing amiss." And then this one looked at Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy what? Kingdom." That's right. Now let me drive it down. This man was high above watermark. His hands like the hands of Christ, and his feet like the feet of Christ, were nailed to a cross. He was already dying the slow death of crucifixion. He could not rectify deeds he had done amiss. He could not join a church. He could not be baptized. He could not do one single solitary thing but cast himself upon the mercy of the Son of God and say, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Today shalt thou be with me," where? In paradise. How can one be assured of getting to heaven? Like the thief on the cross, he must acknowledge he's a sinner. He must recognize the danger he is in. He must recognize that he cannot deliver himself, that deliverance is in Christ. And he must receive him and no other. And he's just as sure of heaven as if his feet are already walking down the streets of God. Now, I use that June 16th, 1960 experience, not facetiously or just to put it over, to let you know what had happened, but to illustrate on that same day one of the greatest Christian men that I have ever known in my life, lay dying in Nantravis Hospital. Anybody know who it was? Who was it? It was J.C., your daddy, then. And before I left early that morning, I went to see him. And he told me it wouldn't be long. But he said, "Brother Harold, I know where my home is. I know where my home is. And when I leave, I know where I'll be." Well, you see,